Good morning. We are excited. We're going to have a special speaker today. At least she's special to me. She's my oldest child, Kaylee Gray. And she attended Victory Bible College, as I mentioned earlier, and she lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we're excited. She was able to go with us for the holiday up to Wisconsin for Thanksgiving. And on the way back through here, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to take advantage. She does podcasting and things like this, so we're excited. She kind of was pretty fortunate in some ways because, in my opinion, she inherited the best gifts between my wife and I, and she didn't get too many of our faults as a rule. I mean, of course, a parent, you know, you say that about your kids, right? But no, we're excited, and she has a message that God's been laying on her heart for a while about the Father God, and so important that we kind of stir our hearts up about that. I think a lot of us have a difficult relationship sometimes, you know, with God, and be able to tap in to be able to get in close to Him. You know, there's always some barrier, it seems like, even though, you know, sometimes even as a pastor, you know, I've been saved a long time, it seems like, and you know, sometimes it just seems like there's something between me and God. And you're trying to figure what it is, and, you know, a lot of times it can be traced back just to some, you know, as far as my life, I know it's wrong thinking and maybe, you know, things, you know, that I misunderstood in my childhood and things like that. So, amen. At this time, we will have Kaylee come up. Amen.
Thanks,
Let's
man.
Give her a hand. What the heck?
Thank you, Dad. Oh, no pressure, right? No, I'm so excited to be with you guys today. This place is home, even though I haven't lived in Albia for probably, it's over been 11 years now. Everyone here has just been like family, and so I'm thankful for everyone here and those tuning online, too. I'm usually with the online crew, and so we're just so thankful for you guys as well. But if you guys have your Bibles with me today, we are going to turn to the book of Isaiah. And these are the words from the prophet. And it says in Isaiah 64:8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father." I want you to say, "Our Father," with me. Our Father. "We are the clay, and you are our potter." I want you to say, "Our potter," with me. Our potter. "We are the work of your hand." And so I know I'm probably a little bit more different than my dad preaching today, but I want you to bear with me. I want you to interact. You know, it's going to be a fun service. But how many of you know there's a lot going on around us in our lives, in our nation, and everything? And so sometimes we need to be reminded that we are in the good hands of a faithful Father. And so today I'm going to be talking about the good hands of the Father. So will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for River Life and for the love for your people. God, I pray today that you would encourage the hearts of everyone here. Lord, let it not be my words, but yours. We thank you that your word would be a supernatural work in us, that you are here and that you are good. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So like my dad said, I'm Pastor Brad and Denise's daughter. I'm the oldest. And it took them a while to get pregnant with me, so I was their miracle baby. And I'm also their only girl. So I'm not saying I'm the favorite, but maybe. but my dad, he is my hero. And in case you didn't know, I have a good father. And sometimes I think it's hard for me to talk about how good a father I have because I know not everybody grew up with a good father that was present in the home that I had. And not everyone has that story, but the older I've gotten, I've realized that there needs to be more testimonies of good fathers. They need to hear stories of protective fathers, of faithful fathers, of loving fathers, of affectionate fathers. Would you agree with me today that we need to start telling stories of good fathers? And I have a good father. So my dad is a pastor, and he's also an electrician. So he's been bivocational my whole life. And he grew up on a farm, so he's got these big hands. You know, he has good hands. He's worked doing manual labor on the farm. He's also worked job sites for his electrical business. And so everyone also knows that my dad doesn't have the best rhythm here, if you've seen him clap. And so, but I do remember my dad as a child. He would sweep me up off my feet, and we would dance around the kitchen. And so I know my mom sometimes got a little jealous of that because he would never dance with her. But he has these good hands that have protected me when we've worked cattle together or when we were taking walks and, you know, cars would pass by. He's had these good hands that have been laid on my forehead, anointing me with oil or praying for me throughout my life if I ever wasn't feeling well. And he also uses those good hands to pump my gas and make sure everything is good with my vehicle before I take a trip. He also uses those good hands to carry my luggage to my vehicle, which you'll be doing tomorrow, right, when I leave, go back to Oklahoma. But he uses those good hands also to poke this certain area in my back that makes me collapse because it tickles me so much. But I remember one Sunday years ago, I was at my parents' house, and I come out of my bedroom, and my dad is holding a toddler. I think she was like 2 years old, and they were doing a connect group or something at the church here, and they didn't have childcare, and so my dad had offered to babysit at our house, which I don't remember my dad ever offering to babysit our entire life, but he was sitting in his chair in the living room holding this little girl, and you could just really see how big his hands were compared to her tiny little hands, and I just remember that image and thinking, she was safe in those good hands. And so when you tell somebody that you're in good hands, you're telling them that they chose the right person. Whether it's a surgeon, a doctor, maybe it's a babysitter, when you say that they're in good hands, you're speaking confidence into who that person is. And so from one generation to the next, of all of us in this room, we've put our faith in Jesus that we get to testify of the good hands of the Father. So he holds us today, and we're always in good hands. Because how would we know that we have a supernatural God unless he decided to reveal himself to us? Well, he does it by using language that we understand. So he says, in his word, he says, I am a flaming torch. I am a rock. I am a good father. I am a good shepherd. And in Isaiah 64:8, the prophet gives us one more picture for us to understand these good hands. And he says, but now, O Lord, you are our father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand. So what better hands to be in on this Sunday morning than the hands that formed it all? It's not just what you see by sitting in these chairs or on this stage or maybe the car that you're going to go in today, but the one who formed the supernatural realm, the one who formed everything that we don't see that's a reality of eternity because we're in good hands today. Do you want to be in good hands? Well, if you want to be in good hands, you must first surrender. So will you say the word surrender with me today? Surrender. We make a decision, and some people have already made this decision already, and maybe hopefully you're listening in this room or listening online that you're going to make that decision today. But to submit your life to the good hands of the Father, that's the moment that we experience salvation. And faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. But faith is a gift given so that you can surrender. And I just want to encourage you, for everyone in this room today, or maybe you're listening online, will you surrender fully to the work of his hands? Because what is work? The prophet says the work of his hands. So whose hands? It's not your hands. Your sanctification is not the work of your hands. Your sanctification, it's not the work of your efforts or your plans, but rather we are the clay and he is the potter. And it's the work of his hands. We often think that we need to do the work. Does anyone ever like find themselves in that place? I know I can do this sometimes. I feel like I have to change myself or I have to figure this out. But that's not what the potter says. He says, God's work is shaping me. My work is surrender. God's work is the transformation. My work is the surrender. And how many of you know surrender is not the easiest thing to do? And every day we have the opportunity to surrender to Jesus. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Will you open up the door? Will you surrender the living space of your heart to him?" But how? Knock, seek, and ask. Knocking, seeking, and asking. It kind of makes me think back to my Girl Scout days. And so how many of you know about those Girl Scout cookies that they sell every year? Yeah. Okay, well, it was a lot different when I was a Girl Scout because, no offense, our moms couldn't post on Facebook and say, "Hey, like, do you want to buy cookies?" I remember my friend and I, we would literally walk around neighborhoods, knocking on doors, asking people if they would buy cookies, because the more cookies you sold, the higher the prize. And so I was very motivated to get that prize. And just like when we seek God, we seek, we knock, and we ask. That speaks to the motivations of our heart, the conversations of our heart, and the physical actions of our being is where we choose to be. Because today, you all are knocking. You decided to come into the house of God. You are physically pursuing the good hands of the Father. So you guys, you're in good hands. Our motivations, our actions, our convictions, they're all put in his hands. And what it's called is pressing in. Surrender is not giving up. No. Surrender is giving in. Giving in to his good hands. Because if you're giving up, then the story's over. But when you give in, the story has just begun. Sometimes in life, we look at our lives and it hasn't gone the way that we wanted it to go. What do we do then? We try to take it and put it in our own hands. But God is saying, no, that is not where the transformation occurs. He's asking us, will you surrender? Will you give in? Will you allow my good hands to shape you today? Because how many of us want the good hands to shape us? So what do? We press in. We don't pull away. But understand this, as you press in, God will respond to you, and he will press into you. But the only way to be shaped is to be pressed. Have you ever felt pressed before? I know I have. Because you came here into the house of God today to be changed, to be shaped, and to be pressed. But some of us, we just want a touch. We just want an experience. We don't walk out differently because we just experience the touch. And I'm here to tell you today that God doesn't want to just touch you. He wants to shape you. He wants to take his good hands into the raw clay of our life and transform you into something that you never dreamed you could be. So will you allow him to press into your life? It says in James chapter 1, verse 23, "For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror." And in verse 24, it says, "You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like." So you got a touch, but maybe you weren't shaped because you didn't surrender. You didn't press in. So often when God begins to press into our lives, we don't want him to press in on us. We have the response and say, well, if someone would have just done that, or if she would have just reacted this way, or if only my life would have reacted and ended up a different way. But God is saying, stop putting the blame on other people. He's saying, I have a new life in front of you. Will you let me shape you? Will you let me correct you? Will you let me mold you? Will you let me heal you? It's you that I want to change. So I know I want to be formed. And to form the clay, the potter has to press it. His hands reshape it. His good hands have to press into the shape of our character. And he has to bring reform. He has to bring change. And friends, pressing feels like pressure. And we all need pressure to be formed. But all pressure is not bad pressure. In fact, God created us to exist with healthy levels of pressure. So right now, for you guys to be sitting in these chairs right now, you have to have the right level of blood pressure to be able to be breathing the oxygen in this room, you have to have the right atmospheric pressure. For your eyes to be able to see me today, your eyes have to have the right level of pressure. Your ears have to have the right level of pressure to be able to hear me. And some of you have walked in, and maybe you've cursed the pressure on your life. And maybe the only reason you came through these doors this morning, because you've walked in and you're laying flat on your back in cardiac arrest on the potter's wheel. But I've got news for you today, that you might be gasping for air and not knowing what is next that the season next has for you. But the good hands of the Father, it comes over you right where you lay, and he puts his hands on your heart. And he begins to perfectly timed pressure upon you. He's not breaking your heart. He's reviving your heart. He's turning a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And he's filling your lungs with breath again. And he's filling your body with energy again. So how does this happen? With pressure. It's the pressure that he revives you. Others of you in this room will say maybe, well, hey, Kaylee, you know, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And for me, it's not a scratch on my heart. It's not a tiny wound, but I feel like I'm bleeding out today. Maybe you've been backstabbed. Maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you've been hurt beyond repair. But the good hands of the Father, he comes to you, and he's better than any Band-Aid. He wraps his hands around you. And the pressure of his good hands is not just going to stop the bleeding. He's going to bring complete health. He's going to bring restoration to your heart, to your home, and to your future. And only his good hands can do it, because we're in good hands. So what is pressure? It's weight. There's a weightiness to the presence of God. There's a weightiness to the hand and to God's calling on your life. There's a weightiness to being anchored in hope. After all, hope is an anchor, and an anchor is a weight. And so there's a weightiness in bearing fruit. Now, today there isn't a lot of fruit being harvested in this area. It's a little chilly. But when I was little, I would go to my grandparents' farm. And in the front lot, there were a lot of pear and apple trees. And I remember as a kid, my grandpa would get the tractor out, and we would stand in the front loader of the bucket, which now when I look back, probably wasn't the safest thing, but we would stand there and we would get raised high to the trees and we would pick as many as we could. I mean, there was so many that my grandma would even post on Facebook and say, hey, anybody that wants to come out and pick some apple and pears, like, get them, because we didn't know what to do with them all. Now, if they didn't get picked, you would see the limbs on the trees bent over by the weight of the fruit. So hanging by the weight of the fruit, it was bearing. And maybe you thought you were only going to bend when the winds of life hit you, or maybe when the storms surround you. But there's weight, and there's bend, and there's a feeling of pressure when God is birthing something new in you. But let me tell you that when God is birthing something inside of you, it's not going to break you. It's going to birth fruition to a destiny that God has created your life. So lean into that weight. Just like the trees that are bearing fruit, you were born to carry it. Because I was built to handle the pressure, because I'm in good hands. So do you feel pressed today? Maybe you're praying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Maybe today, it's not the weapon of the enemy formed against you. Maybe, it's the good hands of the Father forming you. You feel the press, but it's not the work of the enemy, but it's the work of the divine nature of God, because he wants to change you, he wants to transform you, and this is destiny knocking on your door, because God has a plan for your life. Will you let him in? Will you surrender your life to the good hands of the Father? Today you might be saying, Kaylee, well, I feel pressed. Well, maybe it's some new wine. And you're like, no, Kaylee, I'm feeling pressed. Well, maybe it's some new oil. No, Kaylee, you don't understand. I'm feeling pressed. Well, maybe it's God pruning you. You're like, no, I'm feeling pressed. Maybe it's God purifying you. I feel pressed. Well, maybe it's the hands of the Father forming something within you that you could never dream or imagine would happen because He's imagined it for you. You can't be shaped if you don't have pressure. And we all have pressure. So what's pressing you? How long from the time that you pray the prayer saying, God, be the Lord of my life, to the moment that you say, have your way with me. I'm the work of your hands, God. Because sometimes we can go a long time without saying that. It's not just, I am the potter and you are the clay, but we also have to talk about the wheel. It's the potter's wheel. And I had to do some research before I preached this. And the potter's wheel, it's one of the earliest inventions in history. So when Isaiah speaks, he's definitely speaking that the potter has a wheel. And so the potter's wheel is used as a very important process of shaping the clay. And it has a centrifugal force. And the centrifugal force comes in with every single turn. And you could think of the centrifugal force as if you were on a motorcycle, and when you take a turn, you would want to lean into that turn, because if you didn't, the centrifugal force would spin you out. And the potter's hand, the pressure of the hand against the clay that is on the wheel, which holds the clay perfectly in the center of the wheel as the centrifugal force of the wheel spins. So understand this, that the potter's wheel is like a lot like God's invention of time, invented by the potter, spinning with perfectly timed rhythm. Every second, every minute, every year, God is using His invention of time, and He's not bound by this invention of time, but His good hands create good pressure on the clay of life that was pressed up against it. And so every moment of the day can be a moment of transformation. If we stay in the middle of His will, because if you get ahead of His will and you start looking forward and you start worrying about the future instead of trusting Him for today, you're going to spin off the wheel. But if you look behind and you get worried about the fears of yesterday and the shame and the labels, then you're going to spin out. But if you stay right here, like on this Sunday morning, this moment, this hour, in the good hands want to shape you, they want to mold you, and He wants to transform you into exactly what you are destined to be. And it won't be your own work, and it won't be your own effort, but it's going to be His faithfulness. And so what does He do when the clay is just sitting on the wheel? Well, it's hollowed out to be a vessel, and it's stretched upwards and outwards. And it's the same that our good Father does in our lives. Our lives are hollowed out just so that we're not just focusing on ourselves, but so that we can become a vessel for God. Because God wants to use you. He wants to use the tool of time. So if you surrender this moment and this day to Him, so what's pressing you? Because we read in the scripture time and time again that there was this one group that was always pressing Jesus. And if they were pressuring Jesus, then I'm sure they're pressuring you. And that group is the crowd. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd pressing in on Him. And in some books of the Bible, their primary use was blocking the view of Jesus. The crowd is always there, wanting you to jump in on their emotions, their fear, their anger, their criticism, their opinion. The crowd wants to press you and form you. And if you don't throw your hands to the good Father, you're going to be shaped by the crowd. Your thoughts are going to be shaped by the crowd. Your actions will be shaped by the crowd. Your desires will be shaped by the crowd. Your perspective is going to be shaped by the crowd. But I've got news for you. The God created you not to be shaped by the crowd. And that is the truth. The crowd exists in 2024, and it existed 2,000 years ago, so we just got to deal with it. And I think back to a couple years ago, I was at a friend's wedding, and another mutual friend was there, and she wanted to take a picture. So what do most girls do? You know, we take our pictures. And then a few hours later, she sends me these pictures. Now, let me tell you, when I looked at this picture, I was like, this is not me. I'm pretty sure my cheekbones looked like they had filler in it, like Botox. I didn't have a blemish on my face. My eyelashes were really long. And then she also changed some proportions on our bodies. So while she was trying to change herself, she changed me. And that's exactly what the crowd will do. While trying to change themselves, they're going to change you. But God has a once-in-a-life history plan for you. So you don't have to let anybody press in on you, but press into your secret place. Press into your prayer closet, into this community. Press into seeing God with all of your heart and watch as His good hands create the work that the world has never seen before. So don't just surrender, but secondly, stay. Will you say, stay with me? Stay. Will you stay today in His good hands? So many of us think in order to change that we need to change. So we change towns, we change jobs, we change churches, we change scenes. But have you ever considered staying? Because surrender takes faith, but staying takes faithfulness. I'm going to say that again. Surrender takes faith, but staying takes faithfulness. It's not just this one-time encounter with God. God is telling a story over decades and generations that He's not finished. And the funny thing that in order to see change, you need to stay. Often, instead of pressing in, we usually pull away. When God starts pressing, we're like, ooh, I don't like the way that feels. So instead, I'm going to go somewhere that's a little bit more comfortable. And just when God starts to take His hands and He digs into the raw clay of our lives, we're like, ooh, I don't like that weight. I just don't like it. So when the change occurs, we go somewhere else. But what if the real change happens when you stay? Because after all, this isn't the first time He's formed you. You know, Isaiah is not the only prophet that speaks about God as the potter. There's another prophet, Jeremiah. And this is a young teenager who is called by God, and he's probably the kid in youth group that nobody believed in, but God said, "You're my man, and I'm calling you." And so you don't have a story of a great family. You don't have a pedigree, but I'm calling you to be my mouthpiece to this nation. And so Jeremiah, he's overwhelmed by what God has called him to do. But God reminds him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, this is encouraging to me, because if you have ever been bound by fear, you don't get over your fear by looking inward. You have to get over your fear by looking upward to the God that we serve. And God is just reminding Jeremiah that, "Jeremiah, this is not the first time that I formed you. I know that you feel stretched. I know that you feel pressed. I know you feel the weight right now. But I want to remind you that I've already formed you. And before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And let me remind you, Jeremiah, that you were once some small cells that decided to be implanted into your mother's womb to stay, and you decided to stay from the blood of your mother that filled those cells and took life. And then a heartbeat started, and then I started to form your nervous system, and then I formed your skeletal structure, and then I started to form all of your limbs. And Jeremiah, let me remind you, you didn't have to run from womb to get your legs, you didn't have to go to a different womb so that your eyes could see. And you didn't have to go to a different womb so that your lungs could be filled with air. So from seed to fruition, I formed you in the same place because you stayed in my good hands. And I'll do it again." Isn't our God just a supernatural, amazing God? Because we're in good hands. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 10, it reminds us that we are the treasures in these jars of clay. But we have this treasure in the jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. And then in verse 16, it says, so we do not lose heart through our outer self is wasting away. So that's the spinning of the will. And then our inner self is being renewed day by day. And then in verse 17, it says, for this light momentary affliction, so in other words, the weight of the pressure, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And then in verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we have a God that is clear of speaking hope and vision and the purpose of our momentary trouble. There's this weight of glory. And today I want to remind you that you're in good hands. You can be confident today that God wants you to get your confidence back, because you're in good hands. He's got your marriage in his hands. He's got your child in his hands. He's got your purpose right there in his hands. When I think about confidence, I think about my mom. My mom is my hero. And I really want to be like her when I grow up. She's the most confident person I know. Not the like, here I am when you walk into a room, but she is more of like, there you are. And she's just this breath of fresh air. Her heart beats for the lost, and I've seen her share the love of Jesus Christ at a baseball game, in the grocery store, and so anywhere, she's taking a shot to reach the lost. So if you're down in a valley, you want her in your corner, because she's speaking faith over you, and she's reminding you that God is not done with you. Now, my mom would probably tell you that she wasn't always confident. She struggled a lot with fear growing up, but the good hands of the Father was always with her and never left her side. When she told me about her and my dad struggling to get pregnant for 4 years, she felt like God had forsaken her. And she was reminded that the good hands of the Father was holding her every step of the way. And he prepared her for the destiny that he had for her life. Because when her life took a curve, the good hands of the Father held her steady. She didn't know where she was going to go, and she didn't have to go find that love anywhere else, because she knew that that love that she held onto is still the same love that she holds onto today, because the good hands of the Father have the hands of the eternal caring God. And so today you might say, well, I've got a good marriage, you know? I have a good job. Maybe you have a good 401k. You have good vision for your life. But if you're not in the good hands of the Father, there's nothing good about your situation. So I want to encourage you this morning that you may be in the midst of a really bad season. You may be in the middle of a bad marriage. Your kids may be in a bad valley. And maybe you just got a bad report from the doctor. But if you are in the good hands of the Father, you are safe, you are secure, and you are protected. And he will never, ever let you go, because he doesn't abandon his kids. He doesn't look away in the time of need. His ear is not deaf. His arms are not too short to stretch around you. He is here, and he is able. There's a promise in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me, he will carry it out until the completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. So hear me today. You can have a good job. You can have a good marriage. You can have a good idea. You can have good skills. You can have a good personality, you can have good abilities, you can have a good bank account. But if you are not in the good hands of the Father, you're not in a good place. But I have news for you. You can be in a bad season, and you can be in a bad state. And you could have maybe gotten a bad report today as you walked into this room. But if you are pressing in, you can be confident that you are in good hands. I'm in good hands. I want you guys to say that with me. Say, I'm in good hands. Say it like you mean it. I'm in good hands. Good. For the rest of your life, I want that to be a statement over your life. You can be like, you know, I know the season I'm in. I know the report I just got, but I'm in good hands. I know what they said, or I know what they did, but I'm in good hands. You can be confident in everything that he's done because you are in good hands. And so right now we're gonna sing our song, and the song that I picked today is Something Has to Break by Red Rocks. And it's just a song, I know it's not about the good hands of the Father, but sometimes in our lives we might be dealing with something. We might be dealing with that pressure of thinking that it's maybe from the enemy, but maybe it is God pressing into you and trying to tell you what he has planned for your life. And so I really want us to take time to surrender to see what it is that God has for us today.